This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me are Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. According to The Australian, Sapura Energy is considering listing its operations on the Australian stock market in a float that could be worth as much as 2.7 billion Australian dollars. Bank of America Merrill Lynch is working for Sapura, and while it has made it known that it has an interest in listing its exploration and production assets on Bursa Malaysia, it's also understood that the group is weighing the merits of listing in Australia instead.
Yeah, so this plan comes on the back of Sapura Energy's move to pare down its 4.5 billion US dollar debt pile, largely to Maybank. And, you know, it's also because of what's happening right now with the oil price rally. They're thinking, you know, it's a good time now to list.
Yeah, not just good time, but also they got to find a good place. Mm-hmm. You know, could Australia give them that healthier pool of investors as opposed to, say, listing in, you know, Malaysia or other bourses? Because if you compare this story that just came out this morning on The Australian versus what the Wall Street Journal had reported just last week. Now, they also spoke about this plan to list off Sapura Energy in another, I think one of its units, its exploration and production unit in particular. But the difference in the Wall Street Journal story and the Australian story was that the Wall Street Journal said that it could be listed here locally, here in Malaysia.
Right? So the background to all this is the rise in crude oil prices,
yep,
apparently up to some 56% since July last year.
Yeah, they're feeding into investor sentiment, get a bigger valuation, you know, raise more money from the IPO, then pay down hopefully a big chunk of that $4.5 billion that they owe to Maybank. Now, again, this is all just media reports. Right now, I believe, at least according to those stories, they have yet to get confirmation from Sapura Energy. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, sources told WSJ that Sapura is looking at a valuation between 5 billion ringgit to 7 billion ringgit for the exploration and production business. And that unit accounts to nearly 30% of the group's operating profit during the fiscal year ended January.
Big chunk.
Okay, let's move on to Prasarana. Prasarana Malaysia is considering taking over the construction of the LRT3 project from its project delivery partner, PDP, to curb what they call spiraling costs. Prasarana appointed Malaysian Resources Corp Berhad, or MRCB, and George Kent, Malaysia, as the PDP in 2015. And the 37-kilometre extension from Bandar Utama to Klang through Shah Alam was projected to cost some 10 billion ringgit. But what's happened since is that costs have ballooned to more than 15 billion ringgit.
Yeah, and sources told Starbiz that the government is reviewing the project and is expected to make a decision soon, because they have to look into whether or not the size of reducing the size of the project will help cut down the cost. Other options include reverting to a turnkey model.
Yeah. Look, recall, you know, when we were talking about the merits of PDP versus turnkey, you know, we have spoken about this at length, you know, in the right here on the Morning Run, you know, even last year when we were talking about the merits of HSR, ECRL, all that kind of stuff, right? So here you have it, right? One of the key risks associated with the PDP model, project delivery partner model, is beginning to surface, at least according to this story in Starbiz, whereby the financing risk is on the government, in this case, Prasarana, as opposed to a turnkey model. Turnkey being you just give the project to someone else and they will handle everything. They gautim hampalang everything, including financing risk, right? So now in this case...
But in return for a concession period that will allow them to recoup and make profits, right?
Right. Yeah. So now with the accusation that this particular project, this LRT3 project, the cost is overrun, now the question is, what does Prasarana do? Do they come in and take over? Or, you know, how do they actually go about it? Will Prasarana have to go back to the cabinet and try to raise more funds? Yeah, question marks being posed right now.
Well, in the story, Starbiz quoted another source to say that there's a possibility that project might be shelved given the current financial constraints. So time again, you know,
there'll be mess. I mean, think about it, because
so much work has been done.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah. What's the number here? A certain percentage of this job has been done already, I think.
And also in the story, it says that in this case, the PDP partner will assume the risk of cost overrun refunds or delays. So I'm not sure what is the actual terms and conditions for GeorgeCan and MRCB for this LRT3 project.
Right, I think maybe in this case, this PDP allows for the financing risk in case of cost overrun only, as opposed to turnkey, you take the whole shebang, the whole nine yards. Looking at this story in Starbiz, it's reported that work progress on the project had reached 21% already and on track to be completed in mid-2022, I believe. Actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, so this is, with 21% already completed, is shelving such a huge project really a viable option, right?
Also in related news, apparently trouble brewing at the China Communications Construction Company and GeorgeCan joint venture. It's said to be fraying at the seams. The cause of the problem is understood to be the 1 billion ringgit systems work package for the Sungai Buloh Serdang Putrajaya MRT2. As of April this year, 25% of the MRT2 had been completed, but both companies also slated to compete in different consortiums for the MRT3 contract.
Yeah, so this is a story in the Edge Weekly, and MRT Corp CEO Dato Sri Sharil Mokhtar responded to this issue, saying that, in quotes, "We are watching them, the JV, closely." GeorgeCan executives have not made any statement on this issue. I think they reached out to them, so we have to wait and see what this JV, whether or not there's a future.
Right. So beyond the possible repercussions on Malaysia's fiscal position, you got to look at these companies as well, right? The likes of GeorgeCan, MRCB. Again, GeorgeCan, that name shows up on LRT3, and also there's a story in Starbiz, and also GeorgeCan's name comes up in the MRT3 project as well, and this was one of the stories in the Edge Financial Weekly. Look, that particular counter is seen as a politically linked stock. Since GE14, GeorgeCan's share price has fallen by over 70% just within the last 2 months, exactly, right? So now with all this uncertainty over MRT3, LRT3, etc., what's going to happen to GeorgeCan? Well, we'll certainly find out how their share prices fare in less than 5 minutes from now when markets open.
It still has an order book of 5.38 billion ringgit and has a cash balance of nearly 400 million ringgit.
Yeah, and it's not just LRT3, not just MRT3, but also, look, that CCCC and GeorgeCan's JV, right? Perhaps another flashpoint is also because of the ECRL. CCCC is involved in there as well. All right. And that ECRL project, huge one, 81 billion ringgit, that is being subject to review as well. So pretty tumultuous times for those who are involved in all these large-scale infrastructure projects here in Malaysia.
Or if they're seen as a politically linked stock, whether or not now post G14, what's going to happen after this?
So much in Malaysia is being reset, and we had a recent statement by the Prime Minister, and I'm going to quote him. He says, "It's quite obvious now that they're doing all kinds of funny things. They're buying houses. They're taking over companies, which is not the original purpose of Khazanah." Khazanah is a subject. Apparently, the Prime Minister believes that Khazanah has deviated from its original objective of helping Bumiputras.
Well, Khazanah has come out to say that it will seek further clarification on its mandate and investments from Putrajaya. This is after Tun Mahathir made that statement. And in quotes, they say that, this is with a view towards clarifying, reaffirming and implementing our mandate as the strategic investment fund of the government of Malaysia.
Right. And look, so, this, talk about questions. We've got a lot more questions than answers right now. Now, granted, it's only been 2 months, so we need some time before these answers will actually manifest themselves. And look, this ties in with what Ho Ketat over there at The Edge actually wrote about in the latest episode. Latest edition. Of The Edge Weekly, right? Because he talks about, he goes through this entire historical context of how these funds, or GLCs in particular, have evolved in the decades past, GLCs 1.0, GLCs 2.0. And he also highlights, Khazanah's role in helping them, become the entities that they are today. So, for example, Khazanah apparently was involved in the MRCB, NST New Straits Times, TV3, also UEM, Renault Group, in helping them become formulated into, the kind of companies that they are today. And so there appears to be a place for Khazanah, at least since 2001, when there was this revamp of sorts for GLCs here in Malaysia. Now what Dr. Mate is saying that, well, we're going to go all the way back to 1981, I guess, or the 1980s or 90s, and go back to Khazanah's original mandate. So the question is, well, is that mandate from the 1980s, 1990s still hold in today's environment, considering you already have PNB, who's also pursuing that same socio-economic agenda, that is to raise the level of equity for Bumiputras here in Malaysia?
You know, I think it goes back to some of the deeper questions that this government has to answer about what its core values and what is it that is, you know, how much of a break and how much it wants to retain of the previous, not so much the administration, but the previous thinking with Barisan Nasional. Of course, with Dr. Mathew, you have a man who's both part of the future but also a part of the past. And it's going to be a tricky conversation.
I think Keita made a good point in his article this week. He said, you know, clearly there's a move by some in Pakatan Harapan government to make changes in both the leadership and the purpose of GLICs and GLCs. But whatever the final outcome of this exercise, it must be done judiciously and transparently and not out of vengeance.
Mm. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be having the bulletin. Then we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.